This is the second part of this fascinating tale entitled Arca's Doings. Background music by Smart Sound. Arca approached the hooded man, who seemed exhausted. So Arca put his hands behind his head. That was a lot. The hooded man sat on the ground. Yes, I think I should probably get to Celestus Canton as soon as possible. I don't know how they knew me, or that I was here, but if they knew, then others may know, and come looking. He shook his head at the thought, and looked at Arca, though his eyes weren't visible beneath his hood. They may already know why we're here, and be waiting for us. Arca was rubbing his nose fervently, stopping to respond. Yeah, maybe. He rubbed his sleeve on his face once before letting his arms fall to his side, swinging. But we can send someone ahead that shouldn't draw any attention to make sure it's safe. The hooded man uttered something and began to fade into shadow, but failed, and instead stood up again. Very well, I'll wait for your word to move. When you are ready, I'll remove the stones holding the illusory field and proceed to Celestus. Dees threw a hand of cards down on the table in front of Dem. Ha! He shouted, just as Dem threw down his hand. Dees now looked angry. Ha 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 ha, that's right, my friend. Royal flush. Dem reached out and seized a small pile of coin that lay in the centre of the table as Dees grumbled, no one's that lucky. Hey, you won last week, Dem said, trolling Dees. There was a knock at the door. We play every day, you bastard, Dees scoffed playfully as he stood to answer the door. How's it going, Arca? Dees greeted Arca with his back turned as he made his way back to his seat. Oh, you know, Arca chortled unconvincingly. Want to make some money? Dees propped his feet up on the coffee table where they had been playing cards. I'm listening. Arca put a map down on the table at Dees's feet and dramatically pinned it with a dagger on a small island off the coast of Paxlair. Dees sat up and studied the location. I need someone to go here and guard a statue at the site of my old lab. Arca handed Dees some coordinates and a small pouch of gold. Keep an eye out for cultists, specifically. What about me? Dem said, counting his newly won gold. You've already been paid, Dees said, motioning towards Dem's gold with a grimace. Besides, Malice only has two guards at the moment. Dem mouthed Dees' words back at him sarcastically, then happily took his gold into a back room. Arca threw up a directionless wave as he walked out the door, then poked his head back in briefly. Oh, and try not to breathe the gas. Dees didn't question it. He readied his things and headed to Celestus Canton. Arca helped the hooded man onto his horse. Dees says the coast is clear, literally. He snickered at his own joke. Nothing? Anyways. They began riding the road to the east toward Paxlair. After reaching the town, they quietly made their way to the docks, where the ferryman to Celestus Canton waited. After arriving in Celestus and meeting up with Dees at the contamination site, they were briefly attacked by confused blackbirds. Ah, I forgot about these, Arca announced sharply as he swatted with both hands. I want to show you something, Arca. The hooded man knelt near one of the blue spruce surrounding the site, and he pointed out one of the roots breaking ground a bit of the way out from the base of the trunk. Roots, Arca said proudly, as if guessing correctly. The hooded man walked a little further north and knelt again, dusting a few leaves aside and pointed. More roots, Arca said again, not yet seeing where he was going with this. The man walked even further north, much further than the roots of such small trees should extend, and pointed at the ground again. Arca scratched his head. Are you sure these are the same roots? As if on cue, the exposed root seemed to bury itself in the dirt, as if it were aware it were being watched. Whoa! Arca leaped back and grabbed the man, quickly letting go and composing himself, standing akimbo, then pointing frantically at the ground. Did you see that? What was that? He asked frantically. The trees you planted have kept the air clear and safe, but in doing so has funneled all the contaminant into the ground. The entire island is affected, the man said, walking back to the site. Well, shoot, man, I didn't know, Arca defended himself. I'm not sure how to fix this. Me either, but I have not come without ideas. The hooded man produced a small sack. I'll need a lot of garlic and mandrake root. Luckily, I have plenty of sulfur left over, as it was not needed in the illusory field. The man walked to the edge of the nearby ruin and placed a sack on the ground. I will also collect any materials I can from passers-by. Right, Arca said, snapping to attention and pointing in no particular direction while looking around. And I'll go see what else I can find that might help. The next event actually occurred in-game, the failed experiment. It is detailed in a Twitch video, which is unfortunately not now available. Suffice it to say that our heroes were victorious. Weeks later. Arca, crouching in a bush in a small grove of trees next to a clearing, guzzled a green potion and wrapped the empty flask several times in a thick cloth. He cradled it to his chest and quietly smashed it, as is customary. A blue pit dragon that had been preying on a stag in the field looked up for a moment and let out a concerned growl. Arca remained perfectly still. The dragon's concern faded and it returned to its meal. Arca pulled a darker green flask from his pouch and began coating a dagger with its contents. Before he could finish, he heard a roar from above, loud enough to make him stumble backwards onto his butt. The dragon in the clearing looked up and returned the loud roar before taking wing. Arca poked his head from under the canopy just enough to see a horde of blue pit dragons flying out towards Spindrift Bay. They don't normally hunt in packs, he said, rubbing his chin. They aren't known to migrate either, he said to himself. I wonder if this has anything to do with that thunder. Earlier, Arca remembered, there was a thunderous noise that came from the east coast, but not a cloud in the sky. It was a little odd, but, he thought, it may just have been a couple of dragons fighting over territory. Arca picked up his pack and began following the dragon horde towards Spindrift Bay. Arca could see smoke rising from the coast as his ferry approached the west end of Spindrift Bay. The ferryman looked nervous as they began to approach northward. I'll have to take you up the coast a ways. Word is dragons have been attacking, the ferryman said, while changing course northward. Understandable, Arca said with a bit of a nervous giggle. He surveyed the skies as they sailed, but found nothing. Suddenly, a desperate roar echoed from a distant mountain, crushing the gentle sound of the waves against the boat. The ferryman looked startled. Maybe this isn't... The ferryman was interrupted. Head south! Arca shouted, confusingly pointing northwest. It was a tiny speck of a dragon taking wing from the distant mountain. I need to cross the sea. Take me south to Brittany, please. My meter is still running, the ferryman said, trying not to let his voice tremble. The galleon pulled into port on the south end of the main island of Mistrendur. Arca and his horse, Trots, went ashore. I still have all my supplies from Drakveld, no need to stock up, he happily thought, as he mounted Trots. Let's find their feeding grounds, he said to Trots, as they galloped northward through the mountain passes. After some time travelling, he spotted a large herd of deer. He looked round and saw sulphur deposits on nearby stones. Trotz McHorsington was hidden in a small grove of trees and left to graze. Arca crouched in the shrubs and waited. After a while, Arca started to doze off. His eyes began to struggle to stay open until something kicked him so hard in the back it sent him flying into the herd of deer in the field, landing flat on his face and scaring the animals off into the nearby mountains. McHorsington had run off with them. Arca was in a daze and smouldering a bit. He managed to turn his head enough to see a small dragon charging at him. The hell? The dragon stopped. Near him, its fangs bared. Arca's vision was a bit blurry now, but he could clearly see the dragon's eyes glaring. It wasn't feeding. Do not follow, the dragon growled. It sent chills through Arca. He just noticed the wet streaks beneath its savagely angry-looking eyes as its pupils narrowed and it turned to fly swiftly into the mountains. Dragons did not speak to humans. Why did this one? Trotz returned cautiously, and Arca called him over. He mustered enough energy to pull himself onto his back before passing out completely.